On this episode of Newt's World.
I love talking about the Equality Act. It is needed because there is discrimination against people in the LGBTQ community. It took a level of courage and, fortitude to go forward. But all of them, very important as we do our inside maneuvering to get as many votes as possible, hopefully as bipartisan as possible, the outside mobilization. So it's essential to bring a drum, have a drumbeat across America for freedom, for liberty and justice for all. It is necessary because I wish it weren't. It breaks my heart that it is necessary, but the fact is for us to have respect, not even just respect, but take pride in our LGBTQ community.
I want to talk about the House action in passing the so-called Equality Act, which in fact is not an Equality Act. It's another example of the left trying to seize the moral high ground by the language they use. The objective fact is that this bill, which was passed this week by overwhelming support from the Democrats, 224 of them actually co-sponsored the bill, and yet people who are very concerned about religious liberty believe that this bill, in its current form, will in fact decisively cripple Christianity, Judaism, and Islam because it basically sets a set of principles. The federal government will intervene and punish you unless you follow them. Now, this is actually part of a long cycle that has been building for almost a half century, and which really violates the entire concept of the First Amendment and the concept that we should have no laws abridging freedom of religion. Instead, what we have more and more of are direct, deliberate laws that are aimed at punishing, isolating, if necessary, imprisoning people of religious faith. And so we're really having a very radical shift from the whole concept of why America was founded by people who came here seeking religious liberty, and to a new system in which you have to obey the government. Beyond the Equality Act, the fact is that we see a continual effort to have the government impose in an anti-religious way. The largest church in America has 3,000 seats and is allowed to have 250 people come in. In large parts of the country, liberal Democrat governors have taken clearly anti-religious positions during COVID, including, for example, in Nevada, saying that casinos could remain open, but churches had to close. In California, the California government was threatening to lock up a minister who insisted that on Sundays he could meet with his congregation. And you find this again and again. President Biden has nominated Becerra, the Attorney General of California, to be the new Secretary of Health and Human Services. Becerra consistently filed lawsuits against the Little Sisters of the Poor, which is a group of nuns who are dedicated to taking care of people, and particularly taking care of people who are sick and people who are poor. Now, with the Equality Act, they are adding an entire range of sexual behaviors to be protected by the federal government. And what they do is they strike the concept of biological sex, which was in the 1964 Civil Rights Act and said you couldn't discriminate, and have replaced it with sexual orientation and gender identity. And so they're creating a cause for lawsuits and a cause for government persecution based on the widest range of self-identified behaviors in which you get to decide who you are. And by the way, you can change who you are. So one year you could be one kind of person, and a year later you're another kind of person. And it is the duty of churches, synagogues, mosques to respect whoever you want to be this week. And in fact, to such a degree that they can't advocate what's in their religious documents, whether you're looking at the Quran or you're looking at the Christian Bible or you're looking at the Talmud. The fact is that there are increasing sections, which, as has happened in Europe, if you even read certain passages in the Bible, the Swedish government will put you in jail. You have an increasing anti-religious left. This concept of an anti-religious left needs to be taken much more seriously and looked at as a key part of the evolution of Western civilization. In many ways, you can carry it back to the French Revolution and the period of the Enlightenment just before that, when you began to get a really anti-clerical, anti-historic West intellectual tradition, particularly in France, which is why in the French Revolution, they replaced the entire calendar with unique dates and unique concepts, because they wanted to repudiate the Christian calendar that had evolved for in a period of almost 1,800 years. It's why you have nuns, for example, who were guillotined because they refused to give up their religious beliefs and swear loyalty to the new revolutionary French system. In fact, there's a very famous opera about a group of nuns who literally go to the guillotine singing because they're going to join God. And Calista and I had the opportunity a couple years ago to visit the cemetery in central Paris where they're buried. So you had this initial surge, which in some ways resembled the parallel intellectual framework that the Democrats began to develop in the House with the passage of their rules at the beginning of this year. The new House rules provide that in House official documents, all gender definition terms will be eliminated. So you won't have mother, father, brother, sister, aunt, uncle. There are 29 words that are eliminated by the House Democratic Party under Nancy Pelosi's leadership, in which I think the average citizen, if they saw it, would think it was crazy. Well, this new act, which again makes perfect sense, and you think, gee, you know, an equality act, how can that be wrong? But this new act isn't an equality act. This new act is a government imposition act. This new act is an effort to say to the entire country, you will do what we tell you to do about sexual identity, and you will do it on our terms. And if you don't do it, we reserve the right to put you in prison, to close your business. Let's say a church-based adoption service. You are not willing to adopt on our terms and our basis. Crazy rules. So, for example, the bill says an individual shall not be denied access to a shared facility, including a restroom, a locker room, and a dressing room, that is in accordance with the individual's gender identity. So a 15-year-old male who decides this week that they actually decided to identify as a woman without any change physically now will have access to the girls' locker room, the girls' bathroom, to participate in sports as though they were a female, even though we know scientifically that males who go through puberty are in fact physically stronger than females, and that it makes it very hard for females to have genuinely female sports. And in essence, this bill in passing as a minor rule is eliminating Title IX, which people fought for years, to give women an equal opportunity to participate in sports. And now they're going to have so-called women's teams, but if in fact it becomes a widespread practice for formerly males who are transgendered to now participate as females, then if you are a female biologically, you're going to find it extraordinarily difficult to compete because you're simply automatically outclassed. And I think there's actually a lawsuit now in Connecticut on this very issue because a young woman came in second to a man who claimed to no longer be a man, but who in fact had not gone through the processes that would have in any way made him competitive as a woman. And the fact is, once you've gone through a certain amount of hormonal change, the muscle buildup and the strength, particularly in the upper body, it just makes you incapable of competing fairly with somebody who was born female and grew up female because of the difference biologically. And it's interesting. Democrats love to talk about science and how much they follow science, unless, of course, the science doesn't fit them, at which point they invent things and in an almost religious act, decide this is their new science. I was involved in the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993, which was the first real fight over whether or not the left could, by force of government, change religion in America and eliminate the opportunity for people to worship freely as they care. The Religious Freedom Restoration Act is very important, and the Little Sisters of the Poor used that as part of their defense against a mandate that they had to provide contraception and the Affordable Care Act. Remember that if you're the Little Sisters of the Poor and you are a devout Catholic, then you can't provide contraception because it violates your religious beliefs. And in essence, what the Democrats are saying is, your religious beliefs are not as important as our beliefs. And so we're going to legally impose on you, including charging you with a fine, if necessary, putting you in jail. And this kind of pattern, the transition from a call for tolerance, which was the case in the 70s and 80s, to the new intolerance, which is all on the left, all wants to use government to create what is in effect a totalitarian state. If you don't do what they want, then you are by definition subject to persecution by the government. I was amazed, I mean, when this was introduced, having already watched them decide to eliminate mother and father and 27 other gender words in their rules, I knew that they had gone off the deep end. But I was amazed that this particular bill would get 224 Democrats to co-sponsor it, because it is so clearly not just anti-Christian, it's anti-Jewish, it's anti-Muslim. And it's important to remember that if you're concerned about gay rights and you're concerned about persecution of people who are gay, that Islam has a much deeper tradition of persecution to this day, and in a substantial number of Islamic countries in which it is illegal to be gay. And you can, in fact, suffer very severe consequences. Now, that doesn't show up in the U.S. because, in a sense, the left sees Muslims as their ally against conservative Christians and Jews. And so they sort of give them a pass on behaviors which, if they were held by Christians or Jews, would be immediately a firestorm of anger. But it does mean that as these kind of laws get passed, you're going to see the mosque come under severe constraint fully as much as the synagogue or the church. I think this is so fundamental and goes to the very core of our identity as a people. Calista and I, a couple of years ago, did both a movie and a book on rediscovering God in America, in which we took people on a tour of the major statues and other sites, the Washington Monument, the Jefferson Memorial, and we linked together the role of religion in American life with our great leadership over the last 250 years. When you do that, you realize how much the radical left, which apparently includes 224 House Democrats, is prepared to profoundly repudiate everything about the historic United States, the historic freedom of religion. It's interesting to me because I've been fascinated watching the rise of the left and their core belief, which is they get to be anybody they want to be, and that it is your obligation to support them and to be in favor of them. And then they also, by the way, get to redefine what that means on a regular basis. And you're still supposed to support them. And it reminds me of the core point in the Ten Commandments, that thou shalt have no other God before thee. And the reason I think that's so important is you have a really Western civilization-wide move to, in effect, become God. I will decide who I am. I will decide what I want to do. I will decide what I believe. It's all I. And the job of all the rest of you is to support me, applaud me, indicate how wonderful I am. And if you don't do that, then I will use the government to impose on you respecting who I am. It reminds me a little bit of the terrific scene in Hamilton where King George says, I love you so much, I'm sending several of my best battalions to remind you of my love. And so what you get out of the left today is a really aggressive effort by the left to show us how much they love us by putting us in jail if we don't do exactly what they tell us to do. This is a pattern in schools. It's a pattern increasingly in corporations. It's a pattern in the bureaucracy. And they want to now, through this act, make it a pattern for the entire country. I think that it's very important that every religiously active person in the United States look at this bill, realize how dangerous it is, and insist that their senators block it. In some ways, this is the most radical bill ever offered because it would open up every form of personal activity, every form of religious activity, to the federal government imposing a set of values which are explicitly hostile to the American people's core beliefs over the last 250 years. To be honest, I was astonished that it passed that quickly. I was astonished that they could get 224 Democrats to co-sponsor it. I am convinced that if every pastor and every rabbi understood exactly how big a threat this was, that probably half the Democratic caucus would be defeated just because it's so radically different. To mind this vote on the Equality Act, which is really the anti-Christian, anti-Jew religious war act, because it basically declares war on traditional religion. If you combine that with the vote on the first day to adopt a set of rules which abolish mother and father and sister and brother and gender-specific words, I think people would think these folks are crazy. And maybe it's a sign that I just don't kind of get how the world's evolving. But I think in America, in which a major role of government is to punish religious institutions for whatever the government decides this month is the new standard, I think that's an America that rapidly loses its freedom, becomes truly totalitarian. And frankly, it reminds me of the Chinese Communist Party and of Maoism. If you go back and you look, one of the great fights in China today is that they're terrified of people who have religious beliefs. And they're terrified because in a totalitarian system, I need total control. I need for you to do exactly what I say. I can't have a rival. And by definition, if you are religious, you have a rival. You have a loyalty to God, which challenges the loyalty to the state. And so the Chinese Communist Party has been engaged in what both the former Secretary of State and the current Secretary of State have called genocide against the Uyghurs in Western China. They've been involved in trying to destroy Tibetan Buddhist culture. They've been involved in an ongoing war with the Christian missionaries and Christian churches in China itself. And all this is going on because, as a totalitarian system, the very possibility that you're allowed to think on your own and you're allowed to be involved in worshiping somebody other than the state, that very possibility is an enormous threat to the stability of the state. And what you're seeing increasingly is that kind of attitude transferring over the U.S. as the American left is increasingly hostile to any dissent. And that's why you saw, for example, Amazon take two books off that you can't even buy anymore because they raised questions about whether or not 6, 8, 10, 12-year-olds ought to have sex change operations. And that was considered sufficiently threatening that Amazon has just decided to censor it. And it's the largest bookstore in the world. It's one more example that they don't want an argument. They want domination. They don't want to have a dialogue. They want control. And they don't want you to assert that you believe something. They want you to believe what they tell you to. And this Equality Act is exactly that pattern. And I would urge all of you to call your senators, tell them you're aware of how terrible this is. And also, if you go to a church or a synagogue or a mosque, I hope you'll talk to your leaders and get them to understand this is a direct threat to their freedom and their ability to worship, and it should be dealt with as a very, very high priority. I was so astonished that they could ram this through this quickly, and I think it is such an amazingly radical bill to have brought to the floor and passed the way they did that I think it illustrates both the Democratic Party's war on Christianity and Judaism and Islam. It also illustrates the degree to which the machine thinks that it has to get things done quickly, because the closer they get to the election, the greater the problem will be in getting these things done. So they're trying to literally ram through everything they can while they still have momentum before it all breaks apart. And as people see this bill and look at it and think about it, I think it's going to become a major stumbling block for them continuing to do these things. So I will be reporting to you again in the future on this entire war against organized religion in the Democratic Party's very broad-based hostility. So you can oppose this bill by contacting your senator. You can phone the U.S. Capitol switchboard at 202-224-3121, and a switchboard operator will connect you directly with your senator. So I really would urge you, call 202-224-3121, ask for your Senate office, and tell them how deeply opposed you are to this kind of anti-religious, deliberately deceitful bill, and that the Equality Act should never see the light of day in the U.S. Senate. Mitch World is produced by Gingrich 360 and iHeartMedia. Our executive producer is Debbie Myers. Our producer is Garnsey Sloan, and our researcher is Rachel Peterson. The artwork for the show was created by Steve Pender. Special thanks to the team at Gingrich 360. If you've been enjoying Newt's World, I hope you'll go to Apple Podcasts and both rate us with 5 stars and give us a review so others can learn what it's all about. Right now, listeners of Newt's World can sign up for my 3 free weekly columns at gingrich360.com/newsletter. I'm Newt Gingrich. This is Newt's World.